California, that's how it feels, doesn't it? Man, it's great outside. I'm glad that you're at church this morning. If you're a guest, thank you. My name's Todd. I'm the pastor. It's good to have you. And we just ask that you take a moment and fill out the connection card in the seat back in front of you. That gives us an opportunity to connect with you and you with us. If you really want to connect, listen, Growth Track is the place for you. Get into Grow. It's after the second service. There's food, childcare provided, lasts about an hour. And it's a really great connection point. But the whole point of Grow is to get you to understand why you're here. Not just at church, but why you're on this earth. So the last thing before I get into our message is this Wednesday at 6:30. You don't want to miss it. First Wednesdays. We also have a big blowout for our COTK students. They're doing their sumo smackdown with sumo wrestling and inflatable suits, which ought to be cool. But I'm excited that you guys are here and really looking forward to this morning's message. It's on maintaining momentum and really maintaining spiritual momentum. And I'm excited because I look at where we've been as a church, even in the last 2 months, and we've actually added about 150 people in our weekend services, believe it or not, which is with like 1,000 kids, which is great. We've seen an average of over 300 people a week in small groups. That's huge. Isn't that awesome? I love it. Let me tell you why, because life happens in circles, not rows. And you were here this morning. I'm glad that you are, but these are rows. You need to get in circles with some people that you can do life with. Some really big wins, but the truth is that it's easy to like coast downhill when you get to the top of a mountain. Have y'all ever experienced that before? And I want to talk to you today about maintaining spiritual momentum. And then next week, we start a series that I'm really stoked to be a part of. It is called It Is Written, and it is about the foundation of the Bible in our lives and the importance of Scripture, and not just reading it, but getting it inside of us and hearing God's voice. And it's 4 weeks. It's going to be really great. Also, small groups are going to be open. They're still going on, but it's going to be a great opportunity if you haven't plugged in. Plug in for 4 weeks with the It Is Written series. So I've just got a question as we go into the message this morning. If you could pick one event in the life of Jesus that you could be at, what would it be? I mean, for a lot of people, it's like, man, I'd love to, especially in the Cajun culture, and it's Mardi Gras, I'd love to see Jesus change the water into wine. Instead, they just get it backwards, you know what I mean? They're good with that one. Some of y'all will figure that out later. What would it be? Would it be Lazarus being raised from the dead? Would it be Jesus healing a blind man? If you could pick one event in the life of Jesus, what would it be if you could be there for that? Would it be the resurrection? That'd be really wild, crazy, cool. That'd be awesome. Man, there's one thing that just stuck out to me, and it always has, and particularly since I was in Israel last year, and it was mind-blowingly awesome. And I'll never forget when we drove up to the top of Mount Tabor. It's a lone mountain. Israel's an interesting land. It's beautiful. It's not far from Nazareth, and it's just a mountain that just does this. And it's really high, higher than you'd think, and we took a bus all the way up to the top of it. You may know it in the Bible as the Mount of Transfiguration. It's where Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they hiked to the top of this really high mountain, and Jesus, before their eyes, was changed. He was transformed. He was transfigured. And heaven opened up and God spoke to him, and that Jesus' face shone like white and his garments like were like white and bright and shining. And Moses and Elijah showed up, and Jesus is talking and having a conversation with Moses and Elijah on the top of Mount Tabor. And it's really a beautiful place. In fact, I have a picture that I took. Can we show that picture? Is that possible? That is the top of Mount Tabor. And it's just, It's gorgeous. It's like a 30-minute ride up to the top of it because you got to go around because it's pretty steep. It's just fantastic. I would love to have been on the top of that mountain with Jesus and Peter and Jesus being transformed. And in Matthew 17, you can look in Matthew 17 and see about the transfiguration. And Peter gets so excited that he sees Jesus talking with these amazing men who've gone before, Moses and Elijah, and Jesus' face is glowing and shining, so are his clothes. This is kind of trippy weird, isn't it? I've never seen anybody's face like light up like a... Y'all remember Light Bright back in the day when you were a kid? Anybody so old, you remember Light Bright when it was like black and then you like poke through the construction and you're like, oh my God, it's amazing! You know, it's like the precursor to fiber optics, you know, light brights. I've never seen anybody's face become a light bright. Have you? No. It'd be pretty crazy. And then Moses and Elijah are there, and Peter, like in the middle of this whole thing, he gets so excited. I totally identify with Peter. Like, he's an excitable type of guy. And he's like, oh, Jesus, this is awesome. This is great. We've got you. We've got Moses. We've got Elijah. Like, wow. Why don't you let me build like 3 huts for each of you, and then we can just hang out here forever. That's exactly what he says. And then the voice of God the Father speaks and says, shut up, Peter. I'm paraphrasing heavily. This is my son in whom I'm... He says, shut up and listen to my son. And then in verse 9, here's what you see. It says that they went down from the mountain. There are often mountaintop experiences in our life where we experience something that's just fantastic and the view's gorgeous and everything seems perfect and you want to camp out at that place, but invariably, life comes at you and you end up going back down from that mountaintop experience. Everybody here has had that at some point in your life, right? Everything's going great. It's wonderful. It's like the pinnacle of everything perfect. It's like the beautiful weather that we have today, isn't it? Like, man, I wish this could happen all year round. Don't you? Come on. Absolutely. And those of you who are just sitting there, like, I don't know what your problem is. Maybe you've been in Louisiana so long, you forgot what sunshine is like and you don't like it. But it's fantastic. You can move to San Diego, then you get that 350 days out of the year. But in Louisiana, man, those weather days come. What do we do with that? And we relish in it. How many of you were outside yesterday and intentionally placed yourself into the sunshine? Come on, raise your hands. Right, everybody here. Why? Because it's awesome. There are those awesome experiences in our life. But invariably, we have to go back down the mountain. How do we handle that spiritually when those moments where we're like, man, this was amazing, the people that go through freedom, and it's awesome, it's coming this summer, and you don't want to miss it. You want to get in our freedom groups. They're awesome, and it is. It's a mountaintop experience, but the point of the mountaintop experience is to prepare you for what is coming every day in the mundane. Nobody gets excited like, whoa, it's a Tuesday. Well, maybe this week, right? Some of you shouldn't, though. It's amazing how the mundane comes and how people who were so pumped to be in the game and get on the field and destroy the enemy, they end up getting bored. They just sit on the sidelines. I'll let other people do that. Man, I don't want that for you. I want you to have the tools at your disposal to be able to continue. To be able to continue in with that momentum in what God has done inside of you. It may not be a mountaintop experience every day. It's just not going to be. But you can still stay the course. You can stay steady. How do we do that? Because that is the question. And I want us to look at Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was written to Jews who had converted. They didn't consider it conversion. They recognized Jesus as the Messiah, and they had come to faith in him. But then they started getting persecuted by the Jews who said, no, Jesus wasn't the Messiah. They're getting pushed around and pushed aside, and many of them are beginning to wane in their devotion to Christ and wane in that enthusiasm that they once had in serving him. And in fact, we see in chapter 10, we see the author of Hebrews saying, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. And if God's ever done something in your life that was pretty big, I want you to think back to that. Think back. Where has God met you? Has he met you anywhere? Where has he met you? I want you to think back to that. And then he says, remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering. Many times God met us at the low points in our life. Anybody here, God met you in the low point of your life? And yet you were never more excited when everything was tough. There are 2 tests that we've got to pass in our life. The first test is the test of failure and difficulty. How do you handle failure? How do you handle trials? How do you handle difficulty? I'm just here to tell you, let me just say this. Most people pass the test of difficulty and failure. Most people do, because they get to the end of themselves and realize it's a total mess. Everything around me is like falling apart. And what do? It's the proverbial bottom of the barrel. What do? They look up and they go, God, help me. Most people pass that test. The test that many fail at is the test of success. When God takes you from the bottom of the barrel and he brings you to a place where he set your feet on solid ground and he's saying, now follow me. It is very easy to just stray off of that and begin that downhill walk back into the place where we've been. Have y'all seen that in people before? Have you? How do we keep that from happening to us? Let me just say, Hebrews chapter 10, the three chapters we're looking at, Hebrews chapter 10, where the author of Hebrews says, hey, I want you to remember how excited you were in spite of the difficult situation you were in. You were serving God and you were pumped about it. In chapter 11, he goes on to read, to say, and you can read that, he talks about the heroes of the faith. And he talks about all these people who remain faithful to God. I mean, these patriarchs of faith. And he begins to list them out. And over, you'll see if you read that, they served God. They never even saw what was fully promised to them, but they stayed faithful to God. I want you to stay faithful to God. I want you to be able to remember where God has met you. And if he's never met you, maybe today's the day for you. Hebrews 10 tells us in 10:36, it says, patient endurance is what you need so that you'll continue to do God's will. Hebrews 11, it tells the stories of the heroes and the heroines of faith in the Bible. But Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, these are our foundational scriptures for today. It's how do we maintain spiritual momentum? Well, let's take a look at this. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. How do we maintain spiritual momentum? Four things. Really not even that complex. Here's the first one. Number one, find strength from those around you. Find strength from those around you. There's two things that I want you to look at in finding strength in those around you. If we look at the very first portion of Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let me just say that there are people who have gone before you. There are heroes and heroines of the faith that are looking at you, that there's a cloud of witnesses that we see in Hebrews chapter 11, that they're looking on them, that the author of Hebrews is saying, hey, guys, I want you to remember how faithful you, how excited you were, even in suffering, that you were serving God. And I want you to recognize that there are people who've gone before you in the past that are looking down on you. Jesus was on Mount Tabor, and who did he meet with? Elijah and Moses, two guys that had been dead forever, and yet there they were talking to Jesus. Let me just remind you that there are people who look down from heaven on us. I firmly believe that. I think we see that in Hebrews chapter 12. I think we can look at what happened in Matthew 17 with Jesus. We can look at the story of the rich man and Lazarus in the Bible. And they have people in heaven, I really believe this, that they have the ability to look down and see what's going on. I can think of the people of faith, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my grandmother, who I really believe are looking down on me. And I can look at their faith, recognize, guess what? That thing inspires me. Their faith inspires me. That my great-grandfather had the faith and took a Bible with him, all in German, to immigrate to the United States. That's a story of faith that encourages me, that regardless of the difficulties, by the way, his brother was 18 years old and he was 16 years old when he immigrated here. Left everything they knew and came to a new world. Let me tell you, that just inspires me, because when I'm pioneering ahead in some area, whether it's in my personal life and I'm dealing with junk that needs to be cut away, I feel like I feel like a logger. Come on, do I look like a logger? I'm wearing plaid this morning. Aren't necessarily logger boots, and beard isn't, the beard isn't full enough. But I feel like that in those moments when I'm hacking away, at the trees that are keeping me from the destiny that I know that God has for me, whether it's in my personal life internally, whether it's dealing with junk inside of me or in my family, or where it's going where God's called us to go as a pastor with this church, I can look on the faith of my great-grandfather as he immigrated here at 16 years old, and I have his Bible from 1910. And it's all marked up. I can't read it because I don't read German, but I can look through it. It's actually in my home today. I have another Bible from 1853. It's a family Bible that I can flip through and see where it's been read over and over by those who have gone before me. And then I can go into the scriptures. I've been studying 1 Samuel. I can look at the life of Saul. I can look at the life of David. I can look at the life of Samuel. And those heroes of the faith, particularly Samuel and David more so than Saul. But I can look at those men and go, God, man, Lord, thank you that I can glean from them. I recently had a word that was just, it just resonated with me. I just felt like the Lord said, you're David. You're David. I would have never gotten that had I not been studying the life of David who has gone before me. How do you maintain spiritual momentum? Find strength from those around you. And there's a cloud of witnesses of those who have gone before that are looking down on you. Gain strength from them. Find out their stories. I'm a prolific reader. I love to read. I'm reading a book right now that just has really tremendously challenged me and inspired me. It's not even Christian literature. It's historical fiction. It's James Michener's Texas. It's about the foundation of Texas, and it goes all the way back to the Spanish conquest of Central and South America. And there's a whole section that gives historical record of the Franciscan friars who with no other motivation other than, and you can read the documents, how they wanted to see the Native Americans come to know Jesus, how they left everything behind in Spain, came to the New World, and when they got to Mexico City at the main church that had been established there, before they were ever sent out onto the real mission field, which was in Texas, they saw a wall that was full of plaques of all of the men who had gone before them, who had given their life, and they were martyred for their faith. And you get to read about the story of these friars who devoted their life to Christ, knowing that when they left Mexico City to head to Texas, it was almost certain death. How do I maintain spiritual momentum? I'm reading that book and reading the accounts of their life, that they gave everything in love to the people who hated them, knowing that it would probably be the death of them. And one of the friars that in the story you get very attached to, he ultimately, historically, he ends up dying. He's martyred by the Apache Indians, and he willingly gave his life. And I read that, and as I read that account, tears are coming to my eyes and begin to roll down my cheeks, and I'm recognizing if this man can give everything because he wants people to know about the love and the goodness of God, I surely can get up in the morning and seek God myself. Man. There's another verse that I want you to look at. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, let us not neglect our meeting together. This is really the foundational verse and really one of the very only verses that I can conclusively say, this is why you should get together with other believers. This is why you should come to church. Don't neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Here's my question to you. Who is encouraging you? Why should we get together? Because we need to encourage one another. Don't come here just looking to receive. I want you to get some awesome things that we had a great time in worship. Wasn't that cool? Wasn't that last song awesome? It was great. And I want you to come and to receive. But let me just tell you that you can be an encouragement and you can be encouraged. So here's the question that I have for you. This is, I want you to maintain spiritual momentum. I want you to keep going. I know that sometimes it feels like we're walking down a mountain and that it seems like our spiritual life has done this before. Have you ever felt that? It's a roller coaster. Come on now. Have y'all felt that before, that it's a roller coaster? Man, I want you to know that regardless of the highs and the lows of life and what you feel, that you can still stay spiritually strong, but you're going to have to find strength from the people around you, those who have gone before you and those that God has placed right around you. And some of you, you could touch them right now. Are you being an encouragement to them, and are you encouraging them? Anybody here, you ever find yourself at the place where you just need encouragement? Like, I just really wish somebody would just come up and just encourage me. You know what I found? And this is just a very simple principle. The very thing that you feel like you lack, begin to give that away. And when you give away what you feel like you lack, it's amazing. Something happens, but God begins to fill you with the very thing that you feel that you need because you're willing to give it away. Find strength from those around you. And if you're saying, well, listen, I just don't know, I just don't really have anybody around me. Well, let me tell you, pick up a Bible and begin to read the Old Testament about the stories of faith. Begin to read the Gospels and find out about what we can look at in the life of Paul, who we can look at in the person of Jesus. We can look at those that have gone before us and those that are around you. And if you say, I don't have anybody around me right now to encourage me, get into a small group. You need it. You need it because there's something that happens when you connect with people in a very real and transparent way. And here's what you'll find in our groups. You can just wait. People will be transparent first. And if you're here and you're this is your house, you be transparent. Why? Because it brings life that people feel that there's a place where that they can reveal really what's going on and that you have the opportunity to be an encouragement to them. And it's this constant feeling you get when you give things away, God fills you up. How do we maintain spiritual momentum? Find strength from those around you. The second thing, take off that which weighs you down. Let us strip off, this is verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Strip off every weight. And there's two aspects of this that I want you to get, and you have your sermon notes this morning. There's two blanks there. You need to let go of the ungodly. It says, strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the what? Come on, y'all got to get alive this morning. It's too pretty outside for you not to be. What do we have to strip off? Especially the what? Especially the sin. We need to let go of the ungodly. Let go of the things in your life that are weighing you down because it is sin to you. The Bible is very clear on what is sin. You can go look at Exodus chapter 20 and read the Ten Commandments. They're still valid for us today. Let go of those things that you know are causing division between you and God. What is it? You know what it is. The Holy Spirit is alive. Like he speaks to you about let go of that thing. If you got to put up barriers and boundaries and the things in your life to keep you from sinning, to keep you from being disconnected to God, do it. Man, just do it. Just do it. Let go of the ungodly. The next aspect of taking off that which weighs you down, let go of the unnecessary. And this is a big one because there are a lot of things that will weigh us down that we really don't need. Do all of your children really need to be in sports because it keeps you so busy that it's frying your brain because you're not getting enough sleep because you're worn out because you can't, you're listening to me right now and that's good. I'm glad that you are, but you're doing it online. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But if it's because I'm just so worn out, I can never be around other people because I'm around them so much in such a busy fashion that I don't even have time for life-giving relationships. You have a problem. What is it that's weighing you down? Just because something is good doesn't mean that it's the best. And just because something is good doesn't mean that it's necessary. Good things will wear you out and keep you from God's best. Do you hear me on this? So what is it that you're doing that you go, maybe I shouldn't be doing that? What is it? Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin. We know this. The things that weigh us down, first and foremost, it is that sin. If you're at a place where you're dealing with an issue and you know it's a sin issue, go to God, release that thing, ask for forgiveness, and then get around somebody who can bring life to you. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it's James 5:16 that says that we should confess our sins one to another so that we may be healed. There's two aspects of letting go of sin that I want you to get. The first one is that division between you and God, where you confess to God and you say, God, this is what I've done, and I recognize it's kept me from you. And so here it is, I confess it, I give you this sin, I receive your forgiveness. Jesus paid the price for our sin. His act of sacrifice covers our sin. There's forgiveness there. We just have to receive that. But the second aspect of letting go of sin is you being able to confess that thing so that there can be healing. Sin is a double-edged sword. The first edge of that double-edged sword of this, it is the actual sin, and it cuts deep and it separates us from God. But the second edge that I really believe is sharper is the edge of condemnation, and that I've seen people who have sinned and they've asked God for forgiveness and he's given them forgiveness, but because they've been so wounded by what they've done it, they feel like they are unworthy. That's a lie. Let go of the ungodly. Some of you need to be in groups so that you can just say, hey, this is where I've been. This is what happened. This is where sin has affected me. This is where I've sinned and it hurt, and I need to be free of that. Some of you, somebody else's sin has hurt you and you need to be free of that. Just get around some people that can encourage you. How do we maintain spiritual momentum? Find strength from those around you, number one. Number two, take off that which weighs you down. So here's my question. What do you need to let go of? What do you need to let go of? What is it? My prayer for you today is that you can see what it is that you need to let go of. For some of you, there's some sin issues that you need to deal with. You say, God, I surrender this to you. For some of you, your life is so hectic and crazy, it's not that any of the things that you're doing are bad. You still need to let go of them because it's keeping you from the place where you're able to spiritually live. Have you ever been at the place where your life is so full of stuff that you feel like you don't have time to think straight? I've been there. That's hell. It's miserable, isn't it? Come on, is that miserable? I don't want that for you. Let go of the ungodly. Let go of the unnecessary. The third thing. Choose to persevere until you cross the finish line. Choose to persevere. 1 Corinthians 15:58. This is really interesting this morning that this verse was chosen by Rustin, who did not know that this was actually in my message. And one of my biggest points is to choose to persevere until you cross the finish line. 1 Corinthians 15:58, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. We don't have to be shaken. We don't have to be shaken. I am not weak in Jesus, and I am not a weak person. I don't have to be shaken. I don't have to be a victim of the circumstances all around me. Why? Because I am not weak in Jesus. I want y'all to say that with me. Say, I am not weak in Jesus. And I want you to say this, I'm not a weak person. Come on. I am not a weak person. No, you're not. There's a lie of the enemy that says that we are so worn out, that we are so run ragged, that we just can't win. And let me just tell you, it is not by accident that today that we sang the song, we will not be shaken. There is a choice that we get to make that says, regardless of what comes my way, I will not be shaken. I've heard so many Christians argue about, well, God will never give you more than you can handle. And somebody says, what are you talking about? He often gives you more than you handle so that you can lean on him. And here's the truth. They're both right. They're both right. Because if we're honest, there have been situations that we looked at and we went, there is no way that I can handle this. Right? I don't think, if that ever happened to me, I don't think I could handle it. And then it happens. And guess what you find when you lean on Jesus? That in him, you are strong because he is. And that he speaks to you, I am with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And that you recognize that you are strong. And it's because of him, but he made you strong. You have to choose to persevere. Let me just remind you that all of us are in a race. I want you to just picture it. Right now, you can close your eyes if you need to, that everybody here is in running shorts. Y'all remember them little bike shorts that the coaches used to wear in high school back in the day? Thank you, Lord, some things have changed. And the Spirit has left. We're running a race. We're running a race. Let's run with endurance. Let's cross the finish line. It's a choice that we make. Do not buy into the lie that you are weak, that you cannot do this, that it is just too much. Let me just tell you, everybody here is going to deal with loss in their life. Everybody is going to have something happen to them that was unexpected and extremely unwanted. How you handle that will determine the destiny that God has for you. And if you get to the place where you just go, I just can't do it, and you just give up on life, you're missing it. We'll all get to the place, honestly, where we say, I can't do this, but when we trust God and we live by His Spirit and we rely on Him, He makes us strong. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15:58. So my dear brothers, be strong and immovable. Be strong. It's a choice that we make. It's a choice that we make by waking up in the mornings and say, God, I need you. I need you, especially when things are good. Especially when things are good. Everybody seeks God when things are bad because they recognize it's out of their control and there's no way that they're going to be able to handle the day unless God somehow miraculously shows up. But if you want to maintain spiritual momentum when everything is great, you seek God. And in doing so, you're making yourself strong because the storm's coming. The storm is coming. And when you've chosen to be strong and immovable in the Lord, you got nothing to worry about. Be strong and immovable. Always working enthusiastically for the Lord. Is it difficult to be enthusiastic about working for God sometimes? Is it difficult sometimes to get really excited about, yay, this morning I'm going to get up and let's just be human here today. I'm going to get up and I'm going to read 10 chapters of the Bible and memorize 5 scriptures. It's sometimes that can be difficult to be excited about. Come on. But when we choose to persevere, recognizing that every day is a gift from God and that God has given everyone here strength and He's given you a voice and you choose to seek Him, to build His kingdom, He builds a foundation in yours that is so strong that regardless of the storm that comes, you'll never be shaken. So here's my question. In what areas of your life do you need to persevere? Where is it that you in yourself, you perceive yourself weak? God did not make you to be weak. Our weakness to sin, it's there. It's there. We're all tempted. But let me tell you, falling, it's not failure. Maybe failure in a moment, but it is not failure overall. Because everybody here has fallen, haven't you? Come on. Everybody here. There's not a single person in here who has not fallen. Failure isn't falling. Failure is giving up on life. Failure is giving up on the truth. And here is the truth, that God is with me. That He'll never, go read Romans chapter 8. Lord, just commit that to memory if you can. Go read Romans 8 and realize that God will never forsake us. And that in Him that we are strong. And everybody, all the sports, all the athletes you see in so many sports, it's so true though, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because He is the solid rock. Choose to persevere. Where do I feel like I'm weak? Jesus, I need your foundation in my life. The last thing, as we wrap up, keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says this, We persevere by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Whatever you focus on is magnified. Why do so many people buy into the lie that life is overwhelming and they can't handle it? Why do we see such an increase in suicide among the elderly? I don't know if you realize that it actually overtook recently the teenage demographic is the highest demographic where suicide is prevalent. Why do people? Because they feel like there's so many things crushing them and so much that they can't handle. They're just gonna end it all. And let me just tell you this: whatever you focus on is magnified. What are you focusing on? If you focus on the problems, if you focus on the difficulties, if you focus on the sickness, if you focus on perceived failures, if you focus on your shortcomings, let me tell you what's going to magnify in your life all of those things. But when you get to the place where you are focused on the calling of God, when you are focused on Jesus and you are being led by His Spirit, things begin to change. You begin to recognize that, wait a minute, there's an enemy that's coming against me, but greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. And this temptation, this trial, this storm is temporary. But let me tell you what is not temporary. The truth of the Word of God that says that I don't need to worry. I don't need to worry because Christ is in me. When I choose and I surrender my life to Him and I say, God, I'm yours, He fills me with His Spirit. And I get to choose every day if I'm going to persevere. I get to choose that. I get to choose what I focus on. So what have you been focusing on? You want to maintain spiritual momentum? Focus on Christ. Galatians 5:16 says this, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. What's going to happen to this flesh in the end? Come on. I'm getting gray hair, folks. I don't know how that happened. I cannot eat everything I want and expect to stay thin now. I don't know what happened. That changed too. My hair's getting gray. I gotta watch what I eat and exercise. Why? Because what happens to this body in the end? It dies. It dies, does it not? It ages, it breaks down, it dies. I don't want to live by this flesh because living by the flesh ultimately is death. And if I live by the flesh today, if I wake up and I'm not intently focusing on following the leading of the Spirit of God and keeping my eyes on Jesus, I will get to the place of death in some area of my life. And I don't want that for you. And I watch lots of people who have a mountaintop experience with God, and then they just seem to decline to where there's some area of death in their life, whether they begin hating themselves again when God had clearly spoken to them before that they were worthy, whether they're seeing death in relationship, whether they're seeing death in finance, whether they're seeing death in dreams. Let me tell you, whenever anybody falls from the place of grace and goodness in God, it doesn't matter what they fall into, they all fall from the same place. The place of failing to keep their focus on Christ. How do we maintain spiritual momentum? And look to those around you, past and present, those who have gone before, those who are an encouragement to you now. Take off the things that weigh you down, the ungodly, the unnecessary. Choose to persevere, but at the end of the day, keep your eyes on Jesus. How do I maintain spiritual momentum? Keep my eyes on Jesus. So here's the last question that I have. What are you doing to ensure that you're focused on Jesus? What are you doing to ensure that you're focused on Jesus? I have a feeling that today some of you, there have been some mountaintop experiences, but it feels like you're in the valley of the shadow of death. And even in that place, we see David write and say, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because God's with us, even today. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I just feel like I'm going through the motions. I feel like I feel like I'm just going downhill. Man, my prayer for you is that you can see that God is calling you. The Apostle Paul writes, he says in Philippians 3, he says, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter where you've come from. Doesn't matter what's happened to you. Doesn't matter what you say, well, I've failed here, I've fallen short here. God's speaking to you today. If you're here and you say, Pastor, this message is for me. I feel like I'm just coasting through my spiritual life. I just want to pray a prayer of renewal over you. and just really believe that even in this moment that God's going to meet you. If you're here, you say, Pastor, this message was for me. I need that renewal. Please pray for me. If that's you, just raise your hand. Raise them high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can keep them up for just a moment. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never really answered the call of God on my life, but today he's calling out to me. If that's you, raise your hand and say, I know I've never answered that, but today I know I need to. Can we all pray together? Let's just pray out loud right now. Say, dear God, I surrender all to you. I choose you. I'm keeping my focus and eyes on you. May you meet me today. And Lord, I just pray right now over everyone here, those that raised their hands and those that did not. Lord, I just pray that you meet them. That God, that there's just a spirit of life and refreshing in them. Father, I pray that you just open up the windows of heaven, and as they turn their eyes towards you, as they look towards you and they lift their hands and surrender, Father, I pray you pour out blessing on them. God, I just pray that we recognize you're at work. The best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. It's a great Sunday, isn't it? Y'all give a hand to Pastor Josh. Thank you, guys.